Today's mailbag comes to us from Sherry. Dear Lisa and team, my husband had an accident on a Friday night in September and had emergency surgery. He is still recovering in the hospital. I'm sitting here this morning as my kids just left for school, and I am amazed that I am not feeling overwhelmed about my house and the day to day. I know that any important papers will be in my Sunday basket. I was able to do a quick run through of my basket before going to the hospital yesterday. Also, my house is not terrible. I set my machines to work for me in the morning, just like Lisa says. Not having to worry about these things on top of worrying about my husband is priceless. I just wanted to tell Lisa, thank you for following your calling and the team for being such a great support. I'm grateful for you.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started.
Well, I am super excited to have Keith from ADHD Online here this Wednesday. We're going to talk about, Keith, your organization journey, and then also how we got connected through ADHD Online, and then probably ADHD things, because, you know, we both are. So,
because ADHD, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So now that I know that I am, now that you know that you are, like, we might as well talk about it, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's all I do every day. So it's like, I find I'm having to limit how much I talk about ADHD just to, you know, be courteous. But I'm also, it's interesting, the more I've talked about it, the more people ask. So,
right.
It's good.
Well, because it was so taboo before.
It was so taboo. I mean, it was so taboo. I was told I had ADHD and I didn't believe it. I was just like, that's not, yeah. I mean, I'm not the profile that I have in my head of the stereotype that I think a lot of us have of what ADD or ADHD was. And yeah, I mean, it was fascinating. This week, we had a webinar with another partner, Rick Webster, talking about some of the work that Ned Hollowell's doing around potentially reframing how we talk about ADHD. Because I think what was pointed out that really resonated with me was a lot of us aren't at a deficit for things. I mean,
the
attention deficit, yes, and some of the executive function. But the depth of ideas usually that's like crowding the highway is immense. So,
well, I've been saying for years that I did not feel like ADHD was a diagnosis of deficiency. I think it's where our brain evolution is going. Now, let's just be clear. I'm a former teacher, stay-at-home mom, turned entrepreneur, business owner. So no credentialing.
Right,
as of yet,
right.
To be as able to yet. Say that, right. But it's just my observation as a teacher and then as a parent that you kind of have to be able to take it all in, think about it, have new ideas and move forward in order to be where the future is coming from. So I'm not surprised that that conversation is going on.
Yeah, I'm not either. And I'm glad that it is, because I think it's, you know, I think a lot of people pre-diagnosis, you're struggling because you're trying to figure out what's going on and why does everybody else seem to get it? And I'm kind of getting it, but I'm not getting it in the way that it seems like everybody else is. And I know I certainly ran into that. So it the diagnosis for me, so much of it was just about kind of like going, wow, okay, this explains a lot. Like now I actually have some context to challenge myself, and also kind of a reason to kind of catch myself in those moments when I'm really full on in my, like, whatever it is at the moment. I get, you know, I'm the type that gets anxious about time and being late, kind of the opposite.
Me too.
I'm over time sensitive.
Right.
My girls will tell you, like, in the morning, I mean, we literally had to have like an intervention, like, Dad, you have to stop saying what time it is. Because in my mind, that's the, hey, everybody, ding, 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 like, you know, time to go. But that's not how it works for everybody else. So,
yeah. And as I went on my journey of figuring out if I was or wasn't ADHD, I had many people in my DMs on Instagram saying to me, there is no way, Lisa, that you are ADHD because you are so on time. You're always on time. Right. You have such a good handle on time. And also they said, there's no way that you have an ADHD diagnosis because you're so goal oriented and you accomplish your goals and you're so successful. Even the psychologist that ended up diagnosing me at first said, there's, what's the point? Like, you're definitely right. Not. And so I think that that is so great that we're finally having the conversation that you can have what Barbara Hunter calls the fast brain, mm-hmm. and be successful. Like yeah. They're not well, just the way impressive people.
Yeah, no. And I think, you know, it is, I mean, it's why a number of ADHD people, I think, are drawn to being entrepreneurs. They have an ability to kind of either see things differently, sense an opportunity, do a risk analysis, you know, faster mm-hmm. than others. But I think, you know, one of the stats is like, you know, 30% or so of the CEOs in America likely have ADHD. And I think, you know, when you realize your deficiencies, and I know you've mm-hmm. talked about this a lot in the webinars we've done, and you realize those things that, like, I can do this, no problem. These other things I struggle with, how can I work to get help for it? I think that's what sets those ADHD entrepreneurs, executives apart that kind of end up on that, like, very success-driven, very goal-oriented, and people are like, you have ADHD? And it's like, yeah, I'm still struggling with stuff. It's not like I'm not, you know, like, all the stuff just magically happens. But, you know, I've had people ask me, like, how, you know, wow, it seems like, you know, you don't have any problems doing the stuff at work. You can just kind of dive into anything. And then it comes to the work outside of work. And I'm like, well, okay, you know, I look like a kindergartner. And so it's an interesting dichotomy. So, yeah, to me, it's a gift of understanding. And then mm-hmm. I think everybody has their own way to approach it. So that's, I think, the exciting thing to me. And I think, you know, it was interesting. I mentioned just before we started this, I'm a year this week into my role here. And when I started, I was not diagnosed. And so it's interesting to have come into a role like this, like, hey, I'm going to go lead the charge in marketing to patients of ADHD. And then, hey, secretly, you've had ADHD your whole life and you've been struggling with it and you had some ideas. But again, I kind of shook it off because I just said, it's not me. I'm not, that's.
Yeah.
And then when I was taking the test, I was like, oh my gosh, this is me. Totally me. So,
So let's dive into your outside of work, your household organization story, and then we'll tie back into ADHD Online and our partnership. So first of all, you found Organize 365 before I found you. So
we did.
So how did ADHD Online find Organize 365?
So Claudia, who was on our team, she's our director of content and kind of thought leadership, and she's always out looking at the market. And I think she'd seen your book about organization and ADHD. She'd heard your podcast, seen some of your webinars, and she just said, we got to meet this woman. I mean, that's Claudia. And Claudia is always the type, she's like, I'm going to go track this person down and we're going to meet with them. And I think it was, you know, we mutual minds of like that excitement, mm-hmm. that spark, those people that can see the opportunity within things. And I think you saw things in us, we saw things in you. And it kind of felt like a lot of what I think has happened over the last year, which is we're beginning to grow as an organization and mm-hmm. our patients are really telling us, like, you know, even if they get into treatment, that doesn't fix what they're dealing with, right? It just might help with symptom management. It might help with some of the things, but it's not like a magic key. It doesn't just automatically you're cured of ADHD. if you start a medication. So we're understanding and getting, you know, our patients involved. And as we started to work with you, and even just the very first webinar, I think, you know, was a combination of an excitement of our patients and then, you know, your audience also kind of coming together. And there was just so much conversation and energy. And I think, you know, like a lot of us, I recognize my own struggles with organization in what you're teaching. So there's a little bit of personal, you know, interest. That's, I mean, a lot of personal interest, but but it's so relatable. And I don't know, you're so good at teaching that I think, you know, you bring both a mix of practicality, you know, like, hey, look, what are the other options, right? I mean, It's kind of like look in the mirror, self-love that a lot of people think is like tough love, but it's really like, it's what motivates us, right? It's what gets us to get things done. And so I think it just kind of blossomed from there. And I think every thing that we've produced has just generated more participation, more engagement, you know, as we've watched and kind of been involved in a small part of your journey. Mm-hmm. It's just been interesting to kind of keep connecting back to these things. And again, I mean, you know, when you reached out and said, hey, I'm ready to go back to school to pursue how I can get the research to prove that I'm doing what I believe in and that this really does work, I was like, where can I write a letter to support
you? Yes. And thank
and
you.
And I did that without hesitation because I really do believe in what you're doing. And I believe that it is something that this skill is often something, especially I grew up in the generation where my parents were from the 50s and they had the sitcom Hollywood June Beaver Cleaver view of the world, and everything just kind of magically happened in that world.
Right.
And there were a lot of assumptions, there were a lot of things that were, you know, today we look back on and we're just like, oh, that just looks totally inequitable. But it's just what it was. And so a lot of the how-to, you know, I kind of grew up in the age of convenience and like moving into the 70s and 80s, everything was like, well, we'll just go do this and we'll go. I mean, so a lot of the things that I think I would have gained maybe in a different time, skills, it was either school or other stuff. And so it wasn't really until college that staying organized suddenly was important, right? Am I going to keep track of my CDs and my clothes and all that fun stuff? So,
well, and you know, that's a good point because we had cassettes and then we had CDs, but you could only have so many. And now it's like you have all these different streaming channels and there's just so much more complexity to keep organized now. Speaking of now, who lives with you inside of your household?
So it's my wife and my two daughters, senior in high school, sophomore in high school, an Australian Shepherd, and two female cats. So we are our own little Brady Bunch. we've lived in the same house since the girls were three. So,
oh, wow.
Pretty much where they've grown up. Yeah.
Yeah. So how has that house stayed organized throughout all of those years?
Which room?
Tell us
so
about it.
It's been a move. So, and this is the other interesting thing. I was diagnosed combined type. My wife was diagnosed inattentive. Both of our girls have been diagnosed inattentive. As you can imagine, we have lots of piles. We have lots of gathering spots of things. And then a lot of, and it was a joke in our family. Like I remember one year, my father-in-law gave Wendy and I, my wife, a gift of a calendar that every weekend said, organize the garage, right? That was the yearly calendar. Because that's what we were always saying. We've got to get organized in the garage. We can't do anything until we get this organized. And we really, like, I think there were a lot of times where we let that lack of organization hold us back from doing things. Mm-hmm. you know, it's still, I mean, there are several rooms in the house that need a lot of work to just go through stuff, because there's also that aversion. We're both, I'm a collector, I've collected toys for years. You've seen the office, my desk, it's just stuff everywhere. It's kind of my way of focusing in a weird way. But the girls' drawings, like just school stuff, materials. I mean, stuff that my parents gave me from high school, stuff that she got from her high school. It's in bins and we know where it is, and it's not blocking a path today. But, but you know, it's a few bad weekends from a hot mess. So it, and it's, you know, and we kind of go in waves, because it's also, we're in senior year. We've had all right. these things going on as we've come out of virtual life back into the real world. I've been back in the office. It's just, it feels like we're busier, but I mean, it's still, it's that weight that hangs over where it doesn't go away. And then you'll love this. Claudia, who found you this week, was in the office and showed me her Sunday basket. And she goes, Boz, it's working. She goes, look at this. I've got it all right here. And I was like, I have to start doing it. I mean, we've been talking about it, but it's like, I, to see her and to see the smile on her face, I was like, I mean, I've known it works. I just have to start practicing it. So,
and you kudos to you. Yeah. You are in a really busy season of life. Like,
oh yeah,
there are some seasons of life where everything's like on 2 and 3x, and then it slows back down again. And when you're in middle school, all the way until the last one goes off to college or starts their independent life, like that is just a perpetual speeding up of time, and the amount that you're juggling from the time a child is 12 until the time that they leave the house is just like, it's a lot. There are a lot of things, and there's no checklist. And it's a lot, because your children are becoming adults right before your eyes. Like,
oh yeah.
We'll be listening to this after the election, but you're having conversations about the election. You're having conversations about economics. You're having conversations about the war. Like, you're learning life skills. You're learning, they're separating from you while you're still shepherding them, while you're still paying all the bills and usually driving them. And it's a very, like those 6 years are like the foundation of the rest of their lives. But you think like you're almost done with the parenting because you're making all these choices, but yeah, it's more important that you're there. Like often there will be a lot of women will say, I need to be home during the high school years more than I did during the preschool years. And it's true. Like from 1 to 0 to 6, they can't do anything without you. And then you have the right. sweet spots from like 6 to 12, or like, they just love you and everything's great. Right. And then like from 12 to 18, again, you need to be there and be in the trenches, because
right.
it's like your opportunity to speak into the foundation of the rest of their lives.
Yeah. And it is, you're right. And it's, and I think, you know, part of the challenge that you kind of better appreciate your parents when you're in it.
Yeah.
Right? As you're navigating it now as a parent, the complexity of to try to be there, not overbear, under, you know, be present. I mean, there's just so many factors in play. And I mean, and you're right. This is one of the busiest times for them. And I took this role and we've essentially doubled in size in a year. We're in an industry that, I mean, I took this job knowing we were going to be a leader in telehealth and in this space. Mm-hmm. I didn't know a year into it that we might be one of the biggest companies left standing because of the practices of some of those around us that kind of looked at it as more opportunistic. And so that's just, I mean, it's been a fascinating time, and I'm very grateful to be at this point, to be able to reflect on it while it's happening, because it's kind of like your wedding day where it's like, oh, and then you're like, wait, we're married. What happened? Oh my gosh, what just happened? And then the party's over, you know, everybody's gone. And
And these years, 12, when your kids are 12 to 16, are some of the most expensive years. Mm-hmm. You don't usually have a loan for everything that happens from 12 to 12 to 18, like you can take out college loans, but you cash roll everything that's from 12 to 18. And then you try to squeeze in there a few more family trips where it's just going to be that family of four before it becomes a family of five, or somebody can't do it because they're doing an internship or whatever. So there are a lot of time sensitive things that happen between the times when your kids are 12 to 18 that are unique for that time of life. And it's like, you are going through a 2x speed of time when everybody else around you may not be going through that.
Yeah.
And every minute counts, like literally every minute counts.
It does. And it feels like one, you can't snooze any moment. You just gotta always be on.
I will say for the brief week that I was an empty nester, you get a lot of time back, but then, you know, the grandbaby's already here. So I literally will never be an empty nester. I'm like, wow, I had extra time for like a week. And there was like a year while Abby was pregnant before the baby was here. I was like, wow, I just have so much time. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm like, that's gone. Like forever, that's gone now.
Well, and it's amazing just how much like one of them getting a driver's license.
Oh,
that's
freedom.
Cute, right? I know. Like you don't really like, we always laughed. I was like, you know, we need almost like a Uber bus for the neighborhood. Cause we're always all just shuttling our kids always around. There has to be a more efficient way, but future business opportunity.
Well, but that is the time when you get to talk to them. Like my mom even said, when she was driving me, she's like, yeah, well, when you're in the car, you're a captive audience. So here's what we're going to talk about. So I started making lesson plans for what I would talk to my kids about. Like, what knowledge do you want to impart, Boz? You need to have that on an index card. Like, oh, great. It's going to be a 30-minute drive. Okay. So do you know how to change a tire?
No, it's true. That's a really, it is oftentimes unspent where we're just kind of like, oh, we're just shuttling around. That's a great idea. Because I know as they've gotten older and we have more serious conversations, you know, I try to force myself to not ask. I still fall into the classic dad, like, how is everybody? And they're like, oh, part of today, you know? So try to get more specific. But it is an important time because you realize like they're just about to shuttle off. I mean, there's so many assumptions when they've been in the tight nest. And I think we're in an interesting age where there are so many parents around us that, we challenge ourselves too. It's not, I don't think we're perfect. I just look around and I think everyone's overworking for their child and not for themselves. And their kids know it somehow. I mean, there's some way they're feeling it. And I don't know how we'll fix it, but I don't know. I think we're all on our own journey. Everybody reflects on it different, but I do think, I think one of the things more parents should hear is be intentional. Mm-hmm. You know, it does go fast. It's not you hear it, you think, oh, it's a cliche. It goes so fast. And just think about your own time. I mean, I've worked here a year. Yeah. It feels like no time. And it's great. And, you know, I chose to work from home for several points early, you know, when they were much younger. And I'm glad I did because I had that access. And this was even, you know, way earlier than COVID when a lot of people weren't remote yet. And you still had the option to go in and see people then, which was great. But I liked being there, you know, to hear what it was like when they got off the bus. And I won't ever not, you know, that's just time that I'm so glad I had when they were that age. Because now it's like they're in and out, like the social life is just like, phew, 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 phew. So when you get that time, we're just like, we just soak it up.
So I have two organizational suggestions for you in the next 9 months. Are you ready for them?
Okay. Yes. I'm going to even write
this down. This is your assignment. Number one, you and your wife each need to get a Sunday basket.
Okay.
Because you don't want to miss anything. And if you're like my husband and I, you're sending each other text messages or emails or a quick phone call at lunch or saying something when you walk in the door and expecting that the other person is memorizing that information. They are not memorizing it. And they're like, I told you that. No, I told you that.
Right, right.
Like, yeah, you want to
do you have shared notes and they still don't capture it all.
Right. So if you each have a Sunday basket, then literally like write it on a piece of paper. You can still verbally share it, but then drop it in the Sunday basket and then both do your Sunday baskets on the weekend, even if it's only going through the like all the things that happened this week.
Okay.
And then if you do the Sunday basket club and you do the Sunday basket slash pockets, then divide and conquer. So somebody's going to be in charge of the graduation party. So for the graduation party, you sit down on a Saturday and you plan it like, okay, you take these tasks, she takes these tasks, and now divide and conquer versus constantly coming back together. It will save you so much time and you'll know whoever has the list has the list. So definitely, definitely, definitely with the Sunday basket.
All right.
Then the second one is for the whole family. It's really easy. You're all going to be able to do this and it's free. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. So this is our Out with the Old Blitz.
Okay.
It is the last 6 days of the year. It's December 26th to the 30th, to the 31st. It's the last week of the year. Okay. I am sending each of you to your bedrooms.
Okay.
The girls go to their room. You and your wife go to your room. Okay. And that week you are to declutter and organize your bedrooms. Now, the girls' bedrooms are their mini apartments. And I want them to think about them as their mini apartments because one is going to be moving off to a dorm room. The other one is going to be like, freedom next year. Like I have the parents and I have all this.
Already, she's like, I've got that closet now.
Right, right. But anything that they don't want to take on to college or don't want to take on to the next year, like declutter it, donate it, end of the year, like go into the new year without it. Assimilate anything that they've gotten from the holidays. Look at their bedrooms as apartments and like, okay. So like for your daughter who is a sophomore, I believe, like maybe she'd like to have a mini refrigerator in there. Maybe she'd like to have a different mirror with the makeup lights and that's going to be on sale at the end of the year. Or maybe she wants to hang up posters or paint it purple or whatever. Like it's their mini apartment. Like have them take ownership of it and really declutter what's in there and embrace the person that they are today, not the child that they were, or who they're going to be in the future.
The 15-year-old Excel, she redoes her room about every 3 weeks to 3 months. Just depends.
Okay. Well, she's going to love it.
Yeah.
All of you channel her.
Totally, yeah. No, she'll love it. So
then for you and your wife, your bedroom is called a condo. So they have apartments. Okay. You have a condo.
All right.
Okay. So you're going to go through your closets. If it doesn't fit or it's not of this century, we're going to get rid of it, which means the 80s is not of this century. I'm going to declutter that. Declutter the nightstands, everything in your bathroom, like if some cologne you've had for 10 years or hair products that she's had for like 15 years, you're not using. Samples that you got when you walked through the mall in the 90s, gone, like all that stuff gone. It just
all the trips to Disney soaps.
Yes, all the trips to Disney soaps, but all the little trial soaps and all of that, the homeless shelters would love to have those. And so as you go through the Out with the Old, we tell you where to send these things. But the idea is that everyone of all ages goes into their bedrooms and organizes their own personal space. So your half of the bedroom, your half of the closet, your half of the bathroom, and then your girls do the same thing. And when you can, that's where you go to bed at night and that's where you get up in the morning. You're going to start and end your day in a decluttered space. It won't maybe be organized, but it definitely will be decluttered. And then someone in the family, might be the 15-year-old, is going to get the organizing bug. And then the rest of you support that person going into 2023 to go ahead and do the rest of the house. And then the person who loves organizing or really starts to take off with this, the only rule is you guys have to answer their questions. So if it is your 15-year-old and she's decided that she's going to organize the kitchen and she puts things on the kitchen counter at the end of the day, you and your wife, and she says, okay, can I get rid of all of this? Then you go through and say, keep these three things. And then she's allowed to get rid, like empower her to do it. Or if it's your wife or if it's you, whoever ends up being, someone in the household would love to tackle this. And they don't even need your help. They just need you to give them permission.
I love it. I really do. And you know, we are working on that, empowering the girls more. I mean, we've always challenged them to speak for themselves and we're not going to represent you. And, you know, you have to do these things for yourself, but I do know, you know, they, we probably don't always give them that permission. And we've actually talked about this. There are certain things where they're like, do I have permission to do this? Do I really check in every time? And we're like, no, not really, now that we talk about it. But they think, because we haven't had that conversation, that they don't have permission. So I like that idea a lot. I think just saying it out loud and saying you can do it, that's a great idea.
And then in the spring, we do the spring break blitz, which is one project to completion, which for your family is going to be the garage.
Ding, 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 ding.
I was a teacher and you thought, oh yeah, I'll come on and do a podcast. And here I'm like, assignments.
Yeah, you're like, your father-in-law gave you that calendar for a reason.
Right. And we're going to give it to somebody else. So those are, I mean, two Sunday baskets and a couple of the free blitzes that we have, you are going to be significantly on your way. And then once you get through this really crazy time, your family is going to love diving into the full productive home solution and then the launch binders and all those other things. Now is not the time for you to do that. Just take advantage of the free blitzes and the Sunday baskets, and then empower whoever it is in your house that is the organized one to continue the decluttering. Get that part done so that when you are really ready to be like, okay, let's organize and streamline the rest, there's going to be a big bulk that's already done for you.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. It's great ideas.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on from organizing to ADHD online. So I became aware of ADHD online when Claudia reached out to me and said, will you come do a webinar? And I was like, yes. Like, I just, by the way, if you ask me to do a webinar, I'm going to say yes. So you should ask me. I was like, sure. And it was a period of time where we had lost 7 employees in 7 weeks when she reached out to us. So I was just like, yes. And, you know, like on to the next thing.
Right.
All of a sudden I look on my calendar, like I'm doing a webinar for ADHD online. I was like, okay. So I did the webinar before I really even knew much about ADHD online. So then after Claudia and I talked, and I talked to you and I started to do some research, and I was like, wait a minute, you can get a diagnosis online, like telehealth. Like I didn't understand. And so Claudia reached out. She's like, do you want to do another webinar? I'm like, actually, I would like to do 4. I would like to do a series. And this was a period of time. It went from like, if you asked me to do a webinar, I was like, yeah, whatever you want. And then there were a whole bunch of people that reached out to me. I was like, well, actually, and there were a couple of companies like yours where I was like, I want to do this whole huge thing. And it's been great. We've partnered with 3 companies this year, and we've really partnered, not just like, I'll do a webinar, you do a webinar, move on. Like really like, no, let's get to know each other. Let's really, really invest our audiences. And so we did those. And I was like, you know, I should just find out if I do have ADHD or not, because many people have told me I do. And I don't know. And again, I'm not having any deficits in my life. I don't need medication. So if you don't need a medication, should you even get a diagnosis? And I was like, well, I'm sure there are a lot of people in my audience who would like to know if they have ADHD, or they are not feeling that they are like swimming just fine in their life, and they don't realize. And so before I recommend anything, I like to try, like, there are no ads on the Organize 365 podcast for a reason.
Right.
I want to make sure that everything I tell people is actually good. So I was like, all right, well, I'll take the test. And I'm like, there's no way for $150 you can actually tell me online if I have ADHD. So I took it. It takes a while, people. Mm-hmm. You can pause it and come back, which I did numerous times. And then I got the diagnosis that I was ADHD. And I was like, okay. Is it really true though? Because I was so skeptical. I was like, I could have said anything I wanted in there. So then I did the executive function test, which showed that I am not functioning as someone who would have an executive function deficit. I have since found out that executive function and ADHD are not equal corollary things. They are related.
That makes
sense.
They
are not on top.
And again, that's why I
am a former teacher with a mic.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm not a doctor or anything. So take everything with like a whole pound of salt that I'm saying. So now I know that they're extremely related, but you can be ADHD and have not many executive function deficits. So now I know that. But then when I met with the psychologist, I really, really, really wanted to know, do I actually have an ADHD diagnosis paid for with a lot more money than $150? So that I could kind of like test you out, Keith, and make sure it was really a real thing.
Yeah. And I mean,
so now I've spent $1,000 and I have the same result. Right. I have ADHD. Well,
and, but you know, I think I appreciate that skepticism. I mean, I tell people all the time.
Yeah.
I have the same, I think we live in a world where, and $150 price point,
right,
there are video game systems that cost more, right? So right. We're in an interesting category, but it was really the co-founders both have ADHD. They both have sons that have ADHD. And the bottleneck of diagnosis and assessment was real to them.
Right.
And Dr. Duffler is a general practicing physician. He was referring people to be tested and, you know, hearing that it's taking 9 to 12 months.
Absolutely.
Before someone could actually see someone. And so they set about looking, and this was, again, this was 2018, so pre-pandemic, but to see, could we diagnose ADHD asynchronously? So that's the pause and come back to it later. It's not, you can do it in your own time. It took me, when I did it, it took me about 90 minutes in total. But, you know, one of the, and we've, you know, the piece I think that a lot of people question is how can you do this with just answering questions? Well, these are the same questions that you would like, that you would be asked in an ADHD test. You have a little more time and freedom to fill in more history, really. I mean, when you're typically in a testing environment, you might have about an hour total to complete the testing before you got to move along. And so not only are you like waiting to do it, when you get there, then it's like, you got to, okay, we've only got so much time to be tested. So they went through a lot of scrutiny of like taking that same psychological evaluation, showing it to psychologists to say like, does this give you enough information? What else would you need? Like what other types of things? And I think the thing that I'm most proud of is I've gotten to know the team here and know where we're going. We started with what I think is, it's the right way to have started with an online version, but we're going to keep adding things to it to keep, you know, just like what we were talking about with the executive brief analysis, some other things that we can help bring to the table to help people choose kind of like what level of understanding they want to have about their own mental health. But it deserves a lot of scrutiny. I mean, this is not something I think to take lightly. And I think we are in an industry because we are telehealth. You know, I always say part of my job and part of my mission now is to put a face on this digital, what feels like a, you know, kind of not very relational thing. And we're trying to say, look, we're all humans here, driven and enabled through technology, but we're not really a technology company. We're just using technology to further practice and what we can do. So
yeah. And so exactly what you said, it takes forever to get a diagnosis. Now, I would classify myself as a biohacker, but let's be clear. There are biohackers like me that just like knowledge. And then there are biohackers that use that knowledge to become peak performers. I prefer to exercise my mouth and my brain. Everything from the neck down really is to support my mouth and my brain. Like I'm not going to do any marathons or anything. Let's be clear. However, I would love to get one of those continuous glucose monitors just to play with it. And I have an Oura Ring that does all of my sleep. So like I am a nerd who will spend $150 to find out if I have ADHD or not, just because I want to know, not because I want to do anything with it. But when you said how long it takes to get a diagnosis, I mean, I had PTSD from getting my kids' diagnoses. Now, if you have not had children who need to get diagnoses or yourself haven't needed to get any kind of a diagnosis for anything, especially if it's a neurological diagnosis, here's something I have observed. When you take a child with the same exact symptoms into the same exact doctors, you will get a different diagnosis depending on the age of that child.
It's true.
everything under the age of 4 is autism. Anything between 4 and 8 is ADHD. Everything from 8 to 12 is bipolar. I'm sorry. I am just somebody with a microphone. I am not a doctor, but the same exact symptoms will get you those different diagnoses depending on when you take that child in to see that doctor. And as a child ages and you have more additional comorbidities and more information, you will get a more clearer diagnosis. So I love the speed of the diagnosis. But when I came up and I drove up to Michigan to meet you guys, because I mean, when I say I'm doing due diligence, you guys, like, done my due diligence.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I met with Zach.
You would drive back to Ohio. Yeah.
I met with Zach. And what is Zach's title? Isn't he
he's the CEO. Yeah.
Yeah. He's the CEO. And so he was talking about where ADHD online is going and being able to do multiple diagnoses, not just ADHD. And my pea brain is like, how did you, I don't even know. How is this even possible?
Right.
So I had a family member, ADHD diagnosis, and is not currently seeing an ADHD specialist or someone that can prescribe ADHD medication. Like your primary care can do some things, but I mean, we're beyond.
Yeah, right.
So to get medication again would take forever. I was like, fine, we're just going to run through the ADHD online thing. I'm like, all right. So, you know, like forever. It took us 2 days to get this test finished. So we get it finished 3 days later. I'm like, just so this is clear, we already have an ADHD diagnosis. We have other diagnoses as well. ADHD online came back, not with an ADHD diagnosis.
Really?
With a diagnosis of anxiety and depression. And I was like, what? Now, I will just tell you for a fact, I could have taken that family member to one of multiple doctors in Cincinnati with the information that I had, and we would have walked out with new ADHD medicine. And that is not what we needed.
Well,
and now we're getting medication that matches anxiety and depression, and we are seeing the fog lift. So I'm just saying that even if you've already received a diagnosis, and even if you in the past have had this issue that needed this, we are growing and changing all the time. Like my husband will say to me, like, you've changed. I'm like, I know, isn't it fun?
Yeah,
he's
right.
Like, not really. He's like, you changed a lot. I'm like, yes, it's great. Now I'm going to get a PhD. And I'm going to change even more. He's like, like running away. Like every 7 years, every single cell inside of your body is new, including your bone cells. Like you are a completely 100% cellularly different person 7 years from now.
Well, and I'm
so get a diagnosis again.
Yeah. And it's true. And it, you know, it's interesting because this is an area where, again, it's sometimes we are on the front edge of, I just paid you to tell me what I already know. And now you're telling me that what I knew is not right. And, you know, and our psychologists will look at, you know, we call them addendums where you can go back and present previous history. But that is an important part of what we do is sometimes telling someone our threat level psychologist doesn't think you have it. And it is maybe anxiety or depression. And if you have been treating it with one thing and maybe dealing with something else. And it's true too with people that maybe were treating anxiety and depression, but didn't know they had ADHD. That was me in my case.
Interesting.
And then, so I was almost the exact opposite. And none of my medical related care team had ever suggested ADHD. It was a talk therapist was like, you totally have ADHD. And I was like, I don't think so. I just don't, you know, and she was convinced that I did. And, you know, I just didn't believe her. So, but it, you know, it is, that's an interesting part of what we do.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are looking at this next wave of how you, because again, like to get into like a full clinical diagnosis of anxiety and depression, we have to add more depth to the current assessment, but it's very exciting when you start thinking, you know, in a single spot, you could start to really, because, you know, oftentimes too, the presence of comorbidities. So roughly 30% of the people that have autism have ADHD, you know, there's a lot of different things that it can look like OCD and other things. So, I think, I think we're just at the beginning. And so that to me is too, is what's so exciting, is to kind of be at the front line of watching it grow and change and be an advocate, you know, finding people like you that are helping us make our voice louder and bring more awareness and talk about it. Because, you know, quite frankly, I think more people just need to kind of, when you read the symptoms alone, sometimes you can just go, I don't think so. But then someone puts that symptom in context of a personal story and you're like, oh my God, like that's me. Like I've done that. Yeah. Like I've avoided something because I was whatever. And
right.
It's just something I did. I didn't think that was maybe like the way my brain was behaving.
Yeah. And you and I have talked about medication. I said, well, if I'm not going to get medicated, what would even be the point of getting a diagnosis? And you said, well, a lot of things. First of all, I don't think there are a lot of medically approved treatments beyond medication. Like another reason why I'm getting my PhD, so that we then could say that organization, like needing to learn the skill of organization that would improve your executive function, that could be used with medical HSA dollars. Like literally that's where I'm going 5 to 10 years from now. That's a longer road. But also when you talk about medication, and I've seen this in my family, if you have ADHD and depression and you treat with stimulants, it is not good. Like very not good. Like don't do that. So you need to be looking at mood disorders. You need to be looking at things like that. And then when I did finally get my official diagnosis from the local doctor, she said, you said you have migraines. I said, yes. She said, you may not take stimulants. I was like, oh, because of the medication I use for my migraines is counterintuitive to the medication you would use for ADHD.
Right.
So I think that I have seen many examples where medication is the difference between night and day for people. And I've seen many examples where the diagnosis alone and then different strategies and environmental supports have been night and day. And then sometimes you need both.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's an either or. And I know that the goal of ADHD online is not that we give you a diagnosis and then we give you a drug. Like that is not how this works at all. So I want to make sure that we really clarify that as well, because if that was the case, I wouldn't have even pursued.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because it really is. I mean, we have a very, we're really two practices under one roof, right? We have an assessment and diagnosis practice, and that's all of the assessments that come through that people take are evaluated by a doctorate level psychologist, right? Mm-hmm. And they are under no pressure to diagnose one way or the other. They're just being paid to provide their medical opinion. The providers that are treating using telehealth, then again, we don't have ties to pharmaceutical. We don't have any relationships with any providers. So our providers are treating just like they would in normal practice, but they know that they're treating people that have been diagnosed, and they know that they're only going to treat people that have been diagnosed. And, you know, I've been one of those evolving patients for us and for myself. After the assessment, I think I waited about 4 months before I scheduled a treatment appointment with a provider. And before we talked anything about what I might do next, we went through the evaluation, my answers to the assessment, previous history, previous medications I was on, weight, blood pressure. Resting heart rate. I mean, all the things. And, you know, then as a patient, I have to provide that every month.
Every time.
Right? So it is something we take very seriously. Most of our patients fill their prescriptions with the pharmacy in their town. So, you know, we're routinely interacting with local pharmacists and such. So, you know, we don't do a subscription service. It's really kind of a you choose us. And the other big difference with us too, I think from a lot of the other ADHD providers in our space, if you take our assessment, you can go back to your doctor. You don't have to seek treatment with us. The people that choose us are choosing us because we focus on this, or they don't have access to resources locally. I mean, a number of our patients are rural, you know, patients that might have to travel 2 to 3 hours otherwise to see someone. And so, you know, we're just, you know, we're in this period right now where we're still under the public health emergency rules. So that still allows for the, you know, for the controlled substance to be prescribed with telehealth visits. But we're already preparing for when that ends and it goes back to the way that it was pre-pandemic, which was you had to still get a physical exam at least every 2 years. And so we're actually moving to say we think people should actually be seen by a provider at least every year. I mean, especially if you're on a medication. But it is very important. I mean, you're getting into the types of things where you're treating things that you really do have to be open with your provider about everything that's going on, what you're taking for your own safety, right? And to get the best treatment possible. So yeah, it's
I would say
I'm proud to be a part of an organization that I can say I think we're doing it right and we're always trying to do it better.
Yeah, the other things I would say about my experience with ADHD Online and how it relates to the Organize 365 audience. First of all, I don't get any unsolicited emails from you.
No, oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you're thinking like, okay, you're going to be on this eternal list, like, no, you're not. Like, I have to log in to do anything. Like, they're not reminding me at all. Right. So I think that's important because anytime I sign up for anything, I get 8,000 emails. When you guys sign up for my stuff, I send you 8,000 emails. Here, I've done this medical thing. I get no emails. Just so you know, you're not going to end up on like some list, which is refreshing. The second thing is, you know, you mentioned it took you 90 minutes. It took me 2 days with a family member. It took me, you know, a whole work day in and out getting this information in there. I have numerously told Organize 365 and the Organize 365 audience members have done this with great success themselves. I teach you to have a good health history that you take to a new doctor, to go in with your questions in advance, to make sure you provide as much information so that when you get that 15 minutes with the doctor, if you get that much time, you get your questions answered. It is huge that you can spend hours filling out all of the information that you want to tell a doctor and send it to them, and they can read every single thing plus all the questions they have for you. And then they take all of that into account, you know, without this clock ticking behind them to give you a accurate answer. I mean, I think that that may be the thing that I underestimated the most, the amount of time I had to actually collect and give my information and the amount of time the doctor has to actually review it. I was a little nervous when my local doctor said, I want to see what ADHD Online used to make their assessment. So I went into my portal and I printed it out and it was like pages and pages and pages. I was like, oh, good. It's a lot of paper.
Yeah.
So this is probably going to be legit. And then when she read it, she was like, okay, there's a lot of information there. So I think, again, that surprised me. It surprised the doctor here locally that this is not a rubber stamp. I want to be very clear. This is not just like, oh, you pay $150 and you can get some Ritalin. That's not what this is. And then the last thing is, you know, Organize 365, for myself personally, over the last 10 years, I have radically changed my life by moving from being a reactive to a proactive person. And as much as doctors are the experts, no one knows you and your family members better than you do. And you have to be an active participant and an instigating force in your health, in your healthcare, in your everything. Like, doesn't even matter if somebody prescribes something. Do you take it? How often do you take it? Do you take it at the right time? Are you eating the right foods? Are you like, so this just really puts you as the patient in the driver's seat of how often do you want to meet with the doctor? And then you can schedule and their whole calendar is online and you open your calendar and you can pick an appointment. Like, God, I love that so much versus being on the phone and then I were closed that day and whatever. Like, it just really, really, really puts the ball in your court about when you want to do this, how you want to do this, the treatment that you want to seek, who you want to even know that you have this diagnosis or don't have this diagnosis.
Yeah.
I really I have always been a person that's gone out of network for almost everything, education, healthcare, everything. I run a lot through insurance, but there's a lot I pay out of network for. And it's just part of my ownership of my information about me and about my family.
Right.
And the Organized 365 audience, like we are very, listen, if you're still listening at the end of this podcast, we're the same person. Like we like to know information. We like to know about ourselves. We like to make a difference. We like to learn. We like to make an impact. And so this is a way in which you can do that for yourself.
And I mean, it's true. And I think it's a contribution all around, because I think, you know, that understanding yourself, you know, we know that this has a genetic component. So, you know, the number of parents that end up finding out, oh, that explains my child's diagnosis now, why I end up diagnosed or, you know, vice versa. I mean, it really is. And I think, you know, it's just, it's exciting to me to be at this age where we can have these conversations that push at the assumptions, right? I think that's one of the things I really appreciate about you is you're not willing to just sit there and say, okay, I mean, you're going to stand up and say, well, let's maybe do something about that. And what if we tried this? And then, well, let's test it. And let's actually, then let's verify it. And I mean, that passion, that drive, I think that is the thing that changes the world and it helps bring people together. And so to be a small part of it, I'm grateful that, you know, you've taken to us in the way that we've taken to you, and just very appreciative of, you know, getting to spend time with you, getting to know some of your audience better, you getting to know, you know, our audience better, but just very excited by where we're all going, because I see such positive impact coming from my work. And you know, being someone whose primary focus is marketing, a lot of times marketers, advertisers end up in that category like lawyers, where it's like, oh, you're my friend that made me buy that thing I didn't want. And so it's great to be in a position where I feel like I'm selling something that I have a stake in it. I mean, it's because it's partly about helping myself. And so it's kind of a great feeling to almost be selfish in my work, if that makes sense, because it is very satisfying to be able to give back in this way and do it in a way that I wasn't really expecting to again when I started a year ago. It just, us being participants in this ecosystem, we were talking about it. It's what I was saying when I was interviewing, like, I'd love to be doing these things and to be sitting here a year later and to be doing them. It's really great. And so I thank you for being a part of that and for helping kind of, I mean, you were part of the fire that helped light this whole thing kind of taking off for us. So it really has been a great partnership, and I look forward to where we're going to keep going with it.
Well, this is going to air in the beginning of December, but at the end of November, I will be with ADHD online at the CHAD conference down in Dallas. So it's kind of like, you're like, great, you just told me something that I missed. But we really are looking forward to doing neat things going forward. You know, at the CHAD conference, ADHD online is a newcomer in the space, untested, you know, kind of looked at like, how are you changing this in the professional organization industry? Organized 365 is doing things a little bit differently. And professional organization industry is like, what are you doing over there, Organized 365? So I feel like we're both kind of, we know we're making an impact. We know we're doing the right thing, but the industries that we're in are like, we don't really know what you people are doing over there. We're like, so we're going to do it together. It's kind of like we're the little misfit toys on the island going, know what we're doing? Yeah. Okay. So let's just keep doing it and see what happens. And we're having great results.
Definitely going down there.
We're definitely the misfit toys.
We definitely are. And you'll appreciate this. And this will be something we can point people to in December. But the inspiration for the podcast booth, the direction we gave was we want it to be more Miami Sound Machine.
So, yes, right.
we're going to be loud and
we're going to we'll have
see
fun.
How the meets us. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be really interesting because we are kind of this newcomer, but like I said, I'm excited to be there being a face for this industry, being someone to answer questions and kind of take some of the mystique out of what we're doing. Cause it's really not that crazy. Yep. It's just hard work.
You can find everything we've talked about, replays to everything that I've done with ADHD Online, the link we have for ADHD Online over at organize365.com/ADHD Online. It's a live page that we just keep adding everything into that one page. So if you're like, oh, what has Lisa been doing in this partnership? It's all over there. You can find it over there. I also am a guest on your podcast. That'll be coming out
in November. We're going to have that
rabbit trail over there. So Lindsay interviewed me. So that should be out on that podcast, which is
Refocus with Lindsay Gunn. Yep.
So we'll have that on the /ADHD online page on Organize 365 and in the show notes if you're listening to this in the podcast player. Keith, great to have you on the podcast. I'm sure this will not be the last time. Glad we really got to dive into your story and the backstory between our partnership, because I really want to share how strong that foundation is that we have going forward, because I think we're going to build some really great things together.
I do too. And I really appreciate your 9-month challenge. I've got working notes for the family now. So I'm so excited to go home and lay the challenge down and say, Lisa, challenge this family. We're going to show her we're ready to tackle the garage by spring.
Great. Thank you so much, Keith, again for joining us.
Thank you.